Tonight to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4. Whenever Pastor called me mid-afternoon and asked me to fill in, I was glad that it worked out where I could do that. But I have been busy since I got his call. I have been translating this message from Chinese to English, and I'm hoping that nothing got lost in translation. So you pray for me as we look at this. Matthew chapter 4, I want us to begin reading in verse number 18, and we'll read down through verse 22. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. If you would, let's stand together as we honor the reading of God's word. The Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." I want you to notice verse 19. "And he said unto them, Follow me." Now, by the way, this is a command here. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him." Notice again in verse number 19, I want you to notice the command here, follow me. Follow me. A number of months ago, when I preached on a Wednesday night, we looked at just a verse, a couple of verses above this, verse number 17, where Jesus gave, it's the first recorded commandment that Jesus gave in his earthly ministry, and that was to repent. Here in verse number 19, we have the second commandment recorded in the Word of God that Jesus gave, and that is to follow me. And I want you to look at this second commandment tonight and see what he says about it. And hopefully, as I said, nothing will be lost in translation. I'll be able to get across to you all those things that I preach when I preached it in Chinese. If I miss something, just ask Moses and he'll help you out with it. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. I pray, Lord, that you would bless your word. I pray that our hearts would be open and receptive to the word of God. We ask that the Holy Spirit of God would be our teacher and guide in the truth of the word of God, that we might understand the truths that are there, that we might be obedient to the things that you show us. Bless your word now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I don't know if you remember, when I preached on verse 17, when I talked about repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, kingdom of heaven is at hand, I talked about how that in the marriage counseling that I do there in Chinese, at each session, I have about six or seven sessions that I go through in teaching and in dealing with these things. And in the very first session, the first time that I meet together with both husband and wife, I deal with verse 17, to repent. And I talked about last time when I preached here how that if you and I will be willing to repent, whenever the Spirit of God convicts our hearts, whenever the Word of God shows us things in our lives that are not what they need to be, they're not what they ought to be, if we are willing to very quickly to repent, then we can be the husband that God wants us to be. We can be the wife that God wants us to be. Now, the same thing holds true here in this command as well. The Bible says, follow me. And so he commands us. It's not a take it or leave it kind of thing. It's a commandment we have to do, that we have to follow him if we're going to be obedient to him. And the same thing holds true in our relationships as well. If I am following him, I'll be the kind of husband that he wants me to be. I'll love my wife as I ought to love my wife, as Christ loved the church. I'll be kind to her. I'll be helpful to her. If my wife is following him in the way that she ought to follow him, she'll be the kind of wife that she ought to be. And she'll love me, and she'll make me iced tea regularly and never let my glass run. No, I don't think that's in the scripture, but you don't understand what I'm saying. If we are following him, then we will have the kind of relationships that God wants us to have. So this commandment that we're looking at tonight affects every part of our lives. However, I want us to look at it as we think about not so much husband-wife relationship, but as we think about our day-to-day Christian walk and our walk among those who are not saved, our walk in the world as we day by day go to work, as we go to school, as we do those things that we have to do. And I want to think about this commandment here to follow Him. You see, to follow Christ is to set aside my own goals, my own pleasures, and to embrace His goals and His pleasures and to do the things that He has created me to do. And that's true for you as well. You say, what are His purposes? What does He want me to do? Well, first of all, He wants me to know Him in a personal way. He doesn't just want me to know about Him. He doesn't just want me to know the facts and the figures and the dates and all those kind of things, but He wants me to know Him. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he prayed. He said, oh, that I might know Him. Now, Paul had been saved for many years. He'd been an apostle. He'd written much of the New Testament. In the midst of that, he still says, oh, that I might know Him. You see, Christ wants us to know Him in a personal way, and that relationship, that personal relationship, ought to grow day by day. And if you and I are following Him, it will grow. And He wants us, as we follow Him, to make disciples of men. The Great Commission commands us in all four Gospels and also in the book of Acts that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to make disciples of all men. Now, several thoughts, four very simple thoughts tonight, and they're simple because I translated very quickly, okay? I promise you in Chinese, oh, it was very deep. But it's going to be very simple tonight. Okay, thought number one, and this is just very simple. Jesus wants every person in the world to follow Him. He wants every person in the world to follow Him. He doesn't say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I choose you and you must go. He doesn't do that. He wants every person in the world to follow Him. He wants every person in the world to believe. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, I'll tell you something. That verse right there, if there were nothing else, that verse in itself will knock Calvinism in the head. He is obviously the propitiation for all of our sins, but He's very clear here, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. God wants every person in the world to follow Him. He wants those who are weary to follow Him. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus wants every person in the world to follow Him. That includes me. That includes you. That includes people who have never heard the gospel. But especially for those of us who have heard the gospel, who have been saved, we must follow Him. Secondly, I want to ask you a question. What does it mean to follow Him? I've touched on it just a little bit, but anyone, that includes us, anyone who would follow Jesus must change the way that they think, change their goals, change their desires, change their priorities for His goals, His priorities, and His direction. But by the way, as a child of God, it is not a small decision to decide to follow Him. In other words, what I'm saying is if you and I are going to follow Him, it will cost everything. That's why He said that we're to take up our cross and to follow Him daily. The idea is dying daily to our desires, to our wants, to our goals, to our affections. It's not a small decision. That's one of the reasons that when Jesus was on the earth, He was teaching one of the parables. And He said, if a man's going to build a tower, that he should first sit down and count the cost. He should think about what's going to have to happen in order to build that building. If you and I are going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, if we're going to follow Him, it is a very important decision. It's not one that's made lightly, and it's one that is a biggie. Okay, it's a big deal to make that decision. And the reality is, for most children of God, for most believers, they've never actively made a choice to follow him. Now, they've trusted Christ, they've been saved, and maybe they've made a few changes in their lives, but they've never put everything on the altar. They've never taken a blank page and said, Lord, this is the contract for my life. I'm going to sign it at the bottom, and then you fill in the details. And that's what it means to follow him. Rather than putting our business, our desires, our wants first, it means putting the Lord's kingdom first. It means to set aside any expectations or preconditions that you and I might have about our lives. In the Word of God, he points out three things that we're going to have to deal with, or we're going to have to get over if we're going to follow him. In Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, it's a story about the rich young man that came to Christ and wanted to follow him. He said, good master, what good thing shall I do, or what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And he said, well, master, what do I have to do? And Jesus points out the commandments. He said, I've done all of these and from my youth, and you just need something else. And the Lord said, okay, if that's it, I want you to go and take and sell everything you have. I want you to give that money to the poor. And then I want you to come and take up your cross. I want you to follow me. And the Bible says in verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. Why? For he had great possessions. Now, in this case, this kept a young man from putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his riches, his stuff, his things, his wealth, kept him from putting his faith and trust in Christ. But sometimes, as children of God, if we're not careful, we will allow finances, we'll allow things, we'll allow stuff to keep us from following him. We're going to have to deal with that. We're going to have to put our all of our stuff, if you would, all of our finances, all of our wealth, or lack thereof. We got to put all of that on the altar. Not only that, but according to Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, and a certain scribe came and said to him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 20, and Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. We can't follow money if we follow him. But secondly, we must lay aside the idea that things can make us safe and secure in order to follow him. I'm amazed at the number of believers who would never say this outwardly. They would never say this openly, but they live their lives tied to a place, tied to a house, tied to a piece of real estate. Jesus says, hey, the animals, they have homes, but I don't have a home. Come and follow me. Now, he's not saying that if we follow him, we're not going to have a home, but he's saying, understand, I am the only one that can give you real and true security in life. Not your house, not your real estate holdings, only I can do that for you. And then thirdly, as he continues on in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 8, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Now, obviously this sounds pretty harsh. You know, I got to go back, I got to bury my father. And some have debated that the father was still alive, and some have debated that it would be years before he died. I don't know. I know what Jesus is saying is this. If we are going to follow him, we have to be willing to make our relationship with him the most important one in our lives. Now, thank God for family. I thank God for our family. You know, I like that saying, blood's thicker than water. It is. You know, my boys, when they were small, they would fight like cats and dogs with each other, but you let somebody else get in there, and they'd circle the wagon, and they'd fight together. We were in Beijing, and first place we lived, and I think at that time Neil was 10, Ben was 8, and Zach was 5, and they were down in between the apartments on some grass, and they were playing football, and I mean, they were trying to tear each other's heads off. No pads, no helmets, so they were just playing football, just the three of them. Chinese looking at them like they're crazy. Well, they laid the ball down, and they were talking about what they were going to do next. And this Chinese guy walks over and picks up their ball and starts walking off with it. Now, he's about 30 years old. Neil's 10, Ben's 8, and Zach's 5. They turn around. They see the guy with their ball. They say, "Hey, give us our ball." He looks back. He walks off. And Neil said, "Get him, boys!" And the three of them jumped on that 30-year-old man and took the ball away from him. He jumped up and ran away. So, you know, I thank God for family. You know, we stick together. But Jesus says, I have to be the most important relationship in your life if you're going to follow me. Because if he is not, our family that's so important to us will oftentimes throw up roadblocks to us following him. Sometimes they're well-meaning, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they don't realize that they're roadblocks, but yet they still are. We have to make the decision that we're going to follow him. I remember many years ago, we hadn't been married very long, didn't have any children, and we were at my folks' house, and I love my mom and dad. They're with the Lord now, but we were at the house, and mom was fussing about my wife. I don't know what it is about mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, but she was fussing about Marta and just going on about things, and I said, "Mom, that's it. We're not going to have that anymore." And she kept on, and I said, "Mom, let me just tell you something. It sounds like you're pushing me to make a decision between you and my wife. Mom, if you want me to make this decision again right now, I will. But you are not going to like the result of that choice." What I meant was, hey, I chose to leave father and mother and cleave to my wife, and I'm going to do that. Now, family's important. Our relationships with each other are important. Our relationship as husbands and wives, the most important relationship on earth apart from our relationship with Christ. But the most important relationship in our lives must be our relationship to Christ. The call to follow Jesus is the call to walk away from anything that will hinder our fellowship with him or our effectiveness for him. Thirdly, now here's a question. If we follow Jesus, what will we become, or what kind of person will we become? In my mind, I'll just be honest with you, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 is a very weird verse. You say, why is that? Because it just comes across weird. Why didn't he say, "Follow me and I'll teach you how to be good Christians"? Follow me and I'll teach you how to preach. Follow me and I'll teach you how to share the gospel. Follow me and I'll show you how to plant churches. Follow me and I'll show you, and on we could go. Why didn't he say that? He didn't. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Now on the surface, following him and being a fisherman has no relationship whatsoever. Doesn't make any sense. But the reality is, he used the terminology that these men understood. He used the terminology that Simon and Andrew and that James and John understood. Why? They were professional fishermen. Now, unlike Brother Martis, who is a pleasure fisherman, these guys fish for work. I'll be honest with you, I've never met a man that fished as hard as he does for pleasure. Let me tell you about him, Brother Dennis. Over 40 years ago, he was fishing. He's right-handed. He was fishing. And he realized that when he fished right-handed, he'd have to cast, then he'd have to cast, Then you have to change the rod. Then you have to reel it in. But he's thinking, I'll compete with my buddy down here. And he practiced and he learned how to cast left-handed. So he saved about 2 seconds in swapping. And so when you go fishing with him, he can cast about two and a half as many times as you can. He's worked hard at that. Is that the truth, Bo Martis? He did it. He did it now. He worked hard at it. But for pleasure, of course. But these guys were not fishing for pleasure. It was their occupation. So they understood a lot about it. And he's talking to them about something that they understood. If you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, when we hear that phrase, we got to think, okay, that means to be able to witness to somebody, share the gospel, and then they can be saved and they'll become believers. And certainly it means all that. But when he said that to men who were professional fishermen, instantly their mind began to go to their occupation. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions. What method did they use to fish? Nets. Nets. Now, Brother Martis, when he fishes, he uses hooks. Bait, he's a trickster. He'll put a nice worm on there. It's plastic, doesn't taste very good, and he'll trick those fish. But these guys didn't do that. They used the nets, and I'm giving him a hard time tonight because he can't say anything. I'll hear about it later. But anyway, or he won't let me eat the fish I'm supposed to eat later this week. But these guys use nets. Luke chapter 5, verse number 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So they were fishing with nets. Now, when did they fish? Day or night? According to that verse, night. They fished at night. We have toiled all night. Now, if you want to play like Brother Martis, you fish in the daytime. But if you want to be a professional fisherman so that you can make your living by selling fish, you do it at night. And that's what they were doing. Now, why? Why would they do it at night? What are the benefits of night fishing? You say, well, fish eat at night. Well, I guess they do. I remember when I was a kid, when the backwaters would get up, we would put trot lines out through the woods, and about every 2 hours in the middle of the night, we'd have to get up and have to go run those trot lines to take the fish off. So I know there's something about fish running at night and eating at night, but I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about here. I think what he was talking about was the method that they used at nighttime with those nets. You say, what method is that? And they still use this method today, by the way. They took lights and put them down right over the water, and the fish would see the light, and they would come to the light, and then they would take the nets, and they would catch the fish. Now, that method still works today. I've used that method growing up. My dad and I used that method. Now you have to be careful because the snakes will come to the light. That's a whole different sermon. But the fish will come to the light. Okay? And you can catch fish like that. The brighter the light at nighttime, the more fish that would be drawn to it. We understand this. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus in John 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. While he was on earth, he was the light of the world. He's still the light of the world, but how does his light shine now? It shines through us. I kind of think Jesus was saying to those disciples, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And the way I'll do that is not through trickery. I'm not going to do it so you can, I'm not going to go work through you so you can have some kind of newfangled way to, I'm going to work through you and let my light shine through you. And just like the light at night draws the fish to the net, I want your light in this dark and wicked world to draw men to me. I think that's what he's saying. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of the men. And the way that I'm going to do that is by letting you reflect my light in a dark and wicked world. You realize that if you and I will follow him, we'll be the light of the world as he shines through us. He wants to do that for us. But he's not going to do that through us if we don't obey this commandment to follow him. Jesus has left us here to shine in a dark and wicked world. But the only way that's going to happen is for us to follow him. One final thing and I'm done. Should we use light or should we use trickery? Now, you already know the answer to that. Now, if we're bass fishing and we want to use a worm with that hook hidden in it so that we can get that big bass, that's one thing. But if we're trying to fish for men, we don't want to use trickery. We don't want to use the methods of this world. By the way, that's the reason that Pastor has not invested in a fog machine. Okay? That's why we don't have a fog machine in here. Now, I can just see it here, man. He could do it after this surgery, not right now. The fog rolls down, and he comes running out in his skinny jeans, you know. I'm just joking, Pastor. What are you saying? I'm saying that's trickery. I'm saying those types of methods are not methods of the light, but they're the methods of darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What is he saying? He's saying, follow him, we'll be the light, and we don't have to trick people. People will see our light. They'll see our lives, they'll see our light, and they will be drawn to Christ shining through us. That's what you and I need. Jesus gave this second command, follow me. May I say to you, I don't care how many doors you knock on. I don't care how many bus routes you run. I don't care how many tracks you give out. If you're not following him, you're not going to show his light. And you will not be fishers of men. Light attracts people to come and look. Jesus said that if we would follow him, he would do something amazing through us. John 14:12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now notice this statement. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father. You see, if we follow him and allow the light of the Word of God and allow the light of Christ to shine in our lives, we can have a greater impact on the lives of people around us than Jesus had in his earthly ministry. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. But it's only as you and I follow him. Now, here's my question, and I'm done. As a child of God, you're saved, that's all settled in your heart and your mind. Are you following Christ? I mean, really following Christ. May God help us if we haven't made that decision tonight to count the cost and decide, I will follow him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I ask you to bless these simple thoughts tonight. Help us to follow you. Help us through following you to become fishers of men using the light of your life shining through us. Not trickery, not the world's devices, but your word and your light in our lives. Father, help us now, we pray.
In Jesus' name we ask it. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.